Welcome back to Roam Spirits, the one-man podcast about his quest for happiness through video games, comics, and really almost anything that's somewhat nerdy. So, this week on the podcast, I want to talk a little bit about Tim Tebow. I know it's kind of funny with this. I haven't talked too much sports just yet, but I want to kind of talk about the fact that the world, the U.S., for some reason, loves to hate Tim Tebow. And again, I mean, if you know who he is, I guarantee you do. Like, if you know any sports, he's memes. He is basically like the poster boy for hate, and I think in the U.S. It might be a little bit too much there. But Tim Tebow was a quarterback for the Florida Gators a few years back now, and I think it was like basically 2013 to 2015. He then went on to be drafted by the Broncos in the first round, later rounds, I believe in the 20s, and really didn't make it as an NFL quarterback. And it's kind of interesting because he really was never the greatest quarterback by any means, but for some reason he won. And for Florida, they won two national championships. He was a Heisman Trophy winner, and he really honestly put Florida back on the map. They've always been a great college team, but all the talent during that time period, they had Urban Meyer as the coach, and they really did everything they could to win and utilize Tim Tebow's stats and abilities to do that. Now, in the NFL, I think it's so interesting that in the NFL, it just really did not work. Everything that, you know, they did in college really is not going to always work in the NFL. And so he gets drafted. People hate it. I mean, they absolutely hate the fact that he's drafted because he really didn't have the arm strength or the accuracy, but he won. And so that started off the whole Tim Tebow mania, because he did actually, you know, win a few games, actually took the Broncos to the playoffs, and they won a playoff game, which really shouldn't have happened. But I think in that game, he completed less than 40% of his passes. He did score on some runs. I was just basically trying to go through, okay, some of his stats. He had 29 total touchdowns in his NFL career. And for a quarterback, that's really not that many. I think 12 of them are going to end up being on the rushing side. And his completion percentage was less than 50%. Now, they knew he wasn't going to be Drew Brees. And Drew Brees was completing 70% of his passes. And he was your stereotypical, you know, close to 50 touchdowns a year quarterback. But on the other hand, when Drew Brees was drafted out of Purdue, they also didn't feel like he was going to be one of the greatest quarterbacks because he was small. He was 6 foot. He was a little bit scrawny, and he threw like 60 times a game for Purdue. But he also too hurt his shoulder. So when he came in the league, San Diego took him in the draft, and there were some concerns. And look what ended up happening. He became one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and one of the highest completion percentages, and one of the greatest human beings that have played the NFL, in the NFL. So it didn't work out for Tim Tebow. You know, it really didn't. And he is a great human being. Whether you like him or not, whether you are religious or not, he is a great human being. I mean, he grew up in the Philippines, doing a lot of missionary work, trying to help people. And even after that, as a Florida Gator, he was doing the same thing. When he became an NFL player and actually earned some money, he was, again, hugely charitable. He's a very positive person. He is very, very religious and just, in general, a good human being. But saying all of that, he has to be one of the most hated people out there as well. So the Jacksonville Jaguars hired Urban Meyer as their new coach. And in doing so, what they did is hired somebody that wants to win. And every move I think that he's made so far has been brilliant. They talked about how he wants to redo almost the whole like stadium, redo their practicing facilities, change their food. I mean, change the culture for Jacksonville. And the ownership is 100% behind him. They're also 100% behind him bringing in whomever he feels is going to be a good fit. And when I think about their draft, and drafting Trevor Lawrence was huge because, honestly, he is one of the greatest quarterbacks to come out of college since Peyton Manning. Now, does that mean he's going to be Peyton Manning? Who knows? Honestly, like, it could work, it could not work. He could end up being Ryan Leaf. But still, Urban Meyer is bringing in players that are top recruits in the college level, and he's bringing them into the NFL and going to work his magic, and he's going to work and make these players the best that they can. Now, their other first-round pick was a running back from Clemson that really is going to end up being that Percy Harvin type of role. Now, Travis, I think it's Arnett, I believe his name is, he was a complete runner for Clemson. But now coming to the NFL, he's going to utilize, Urban Meyer's going to utilize him in a way that's going to make it work. And I really think, being a Michigan fan, it always drove me nuts because he did the same thing when he was at Ohio State. He would get players, make them work for his system, and he won games. He won national championships. Now, of his quarterbacks that came to the NFL, not one of them, and like I said, not one of them has made a Pro Bowl. Not one of them is a franchise quarterback. He did actually have, that was for the Gators. I was going to say he had Cam Newton, but even Cam Newton was not on his team and had to go over to Auburn to really make it into that pro-style quarterback. So, that being the case, long spiel here, Tim Tebow is signed on, or will be signing on, to be a tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Why is Tim Tebow getting so much news in the press? This is a 1-15 team that basically has a new coach, has new ownership, and really in the end is just trying to get to where they're back to the playoffs. But Tim Tebow is a washed-up player that is probably in great shape, that has played baseball at a very low level for the Mets in the minor leagues. So why are we talking so much about Tim Tebow? And I am a Tebow fan, but the amount of people that are trying to link him with Colin Kaepernick or with RG3 or really any other player that was great and wonderful for a short amount of time that has washed up and hasn't played in a lot of years, they're making this a huge deal. And myself personally, I mean, I honestly don't care. If Tim Tebow ends up going and being a wonderful tight end, I hope the best for him. But on the other hand, realistically, he's 33 years old. He really hasn't gotten hit in a lot of years. He was unwilling to be a tight end before all of this, but now he is. So I don't have huge amount of expectations for him, but I was looking through the internet a little bit just on some reasoning. I want to see, why does the people hate Tim Tebow? And one of the things came up, says Tim Tebow hating is trending. Like, it's a trendy thing to not like him. They said he's too perfect. He's been overhyped and the media loves him. They've also said he's too religious. They also say that, you know, in the end, he's just that perfect human being that you want to tear down. Myself, personally, I loved him when he was at Florida. When he came to the NFL, I really didn't see him as a starting quarterback. I was excited to see that he took him to a playoff game. But when they had a choice between Peyton Manning and Tim Tebow, every smart person in the world is going to pick Tebow. They're going to pick Peyton Manning. Of course, that's going to be the case. Now, on the other side of it, the best tight end that they have right now, the Jacksonville Jaguars, last year started 12 games. I know for a fact, looking at NFL Pro reference for stats, this guy had one reception a game, and he started 12 games. That's not good. So if you pick up a Tim Tebow, and he's great, guess what? Like, you just did something that's wonderful. If he comes into your your locker room, and he's a great, hardworking force, but he doesn't make the team, who cares? But why are we like talking on ESPN for 30 minutes to 40 minutes about Tim Tebow when he's not really signed? He's going to be an average to low-end tight end. He's probably going to get hit once or twice and get hurt. And who cares? So, but again, on the other hand, when you look back on some dual sports players, you got your Deion Sanders, you have your Bo Jackson, you have your Brian Jordan, which, again, a lot of people don't talk about Brian Jordan, but he played over 100, over 100 games in the NFL, but then also played over 1,000 games in the Major League Baseball, and especially for the Braves, and he was a great player. Was he awesome in the NFL? No. He was a cornerback, but again, we know everything about Tim Tebow. We know the fact that he was a virgin until he got married. We know that he is a great advocate for the Christian faith. We know that he wears John 3:16 on his eyes. But when you ask people about Brian Jordan, they have no clue who he is, when he honestly is the probably most successful two-way player that we've seen for the NFL and then the Major League Baseball. Now, you can say Bo Jackson. Bo, to me, was extremely successful, but his NFL career didn't last very long. And when I really think about it, he was a good player. He won on both sides. But I think Bo Jackson, I'm sorry, it's going to probably tick off a couple people, he was overhyped. And Bo knows a lot of things, but one thing that happened is after he hurt his hip, he stopped playing football. And he really, in the end, honestly, he was a great, great player, but he never played full 16-game seasons. And then Marcus Allen, honestly, was a better player. And Marcus Allen only had a few years of having over 1,000 yard rushing. And then on the baseball side of it, he was extremely talented, but rarely did he ever hit above 260. And he would hit 30 home runs, but he'd also strike out. Just like, I mean, I think about it, like Adam Dunn is has one of the highest amount of home runs, but he also struck out more than everybody else, and he hit most of his home runs when there was nobody on base, and it's Adam Dunn. So if your stat line for your best of the two sports is not as good as Adam Dunn, then really in the end, I just don't see him as a Hall of Famer on either side of it. And honestly, I think that Brian Jordan, when you look at his stats as a whole, really in the end is going to be somebody that had a better overall dual sports pro career than Bo Jackson, and of course way better than Tim Tebow, which Tebow never hit one hit in the major leagues. Everything was in minor leagues. And then again in the NFL, never was a real good starting quarterback, never played more than, 5 to 6 games a year, and never completed anything above, 50% for his overall completion. So I guess for a moment I had to talk a little bit about Mr. Tebow, and again, if you're a fan, more power to you, but on the other side of it, we don't really 100% care. I like him, but let's move on. So, in the world of video games, let's move on to that. There's a lot of fun things that's happening in Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes. We are starting to see the kit reveals for the next Ahsoka Tano. It was kind of fun. After the last podcast, I had a couple discussions with a couple different individuals about Ahsoka, and we really did talk about Commander Cody and how he really is the determining factor with a lot of things, but as well, so was Ahsoka. And Ahsoka's escape during Order 66 created a lot of conversation. I loved it, because in the end, she really did do a better job than Kenobi, and it was a lot less about luck. So in Star Wars Galaxy of Hero, I'm excited because now we're going to have Commander Ahsoka Tano. Now myself, it's going to be a bit before I get her because it's attached to the Conquest mode, and I am currently under 4 million. And so that means that I won't really be able to unlock her anytime soon, because anyone that is 4 million above was able to go through and get the most shards for the Razor Crest, which again is the Mandalorian ship from the Mandalorian series. Myself, I do not have it unlocked just yet, but watching that ship, it's pretty exciting for the future of Star Wars and in the ship side of it. because it looks like it's going to be part of the meta, even if it's part of a bounty hunter group. It looks like it really is going to be something that's going to be good. And for myself, I use Slave 1 in my reinforcements. So if I can kind of get rid of Slave 1 or use somebody else, it's going to be great for me. And the fact that I spent way too much money on Beskar Mando or Mando Trash, I, in the end, will be able to use that Relic 7 to hopefully use that as a good reinforcement. So again, with my update for Star Wars Galaxy Heroes, it's the one that you're never asking for, but you're always going to get, just because that's going to be one of the games that I play on a day-to-day basis. I am inching closer to Kylo Ren. Every week it seems like I'm moving so much closer, and I need two ships to get to 7 stars. One is the Kylo Ren transport ship, and the other one is a bounty hunter ship, which is going to be Cad Bane's. I am at 95 out of 100 for Kylo's ship, and I love this game, I really do, but I will say that farming any type of ships is so painful, and it takes such a long time, and I guess I'm an idiot for doing it, but still, we are 95 out of 100 from there, and then Cad Bane's, I believe I am 92 out of 100. When I'm able to get those ships taken care of, I can use all my crystals to move towards getting a lot more gear. And honestly, I had two more individuals. I had Executioner, First Order Executioner, and then TIE Fighter, First Order TIE Fighter. Now is Relic. Nope, not a Relic yet. They are Gear 12, so which is exciting for me. So we're getting inches and inches closer to being able to have a Galactic Legend, which in the end is basically having a God-tier character in this game. So it's kind of exciting for me. So that's my update for Star Wars, which, again, you didn't ask for it, but guess what? You get to hear it. So other news that I want to talk about was Ubisoft. And if you've been playing Assassin's Creed, if you've been playing Watch Dogs, you obviously know who this company is. And they released something last week that talked about how they are going to be starting to switch to more of a free-to-play mindset and strategy when it comes to their games. They're still going to release a lot of AAA games, but they are going to move towards this free-to-play area. And it made me kind of think again about where is the money really transitioning in the video game world. And we all know that Fortnite and Rocket League and now Call of Duty, they are going to, you know, a lot of switching to the free-to-play, because people are spending the money. I looked at some of the earnings reports for Fortnite, and they're looking at about $3.5 up to $4 billion that they're planning on making. That is a lot of money. I mean, for a free-to-play game, to make $1 billion is unbelievable to me. And to think about it, how this game started off is almost like a survival builder for zombies. Now it's basically this online, bringing in Marvel, bringing in all these other characters, and people spending money not on weapons, not on being able to start differently. Like, they are spending money on stuff that's not drastically changing the game. They are buying skins, they are buying passes, making it to where they can level up quicker, and they're spending so much money. And I just think back on the old Nintendo 64, the old, you know, regular Nintendo, and spending $40 on a game and that's it. I remember that thinking, man, that's a lot of money. So I look at my PlayStation 5 games, and I look at some of my older games too on the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4. How much am I willing to spend? And I think that has changed a lot for free to play. It's not really free to play. Now, I do play Rocket League. I play it extremely bad. But I have no ambition, nothing to buy a new skin. I have not a new car, not a new logo, not a new tag, nothing like that. I am not going to spend a dollar on it. But on the other hand, going to some of the Assassin's Creed games, I bought way too much money for Assassin's Creed Origin. That is not a free-to-play game, But I paid to basically level up my character quicker so I could do some of the extra quests that were coming in. And I remember spending probably $50 to a little bit, $50 extra when I bought the game to get the extended edition, which gave me some extra stat points. And then I went through and spent more on resources and then spent a little bit more to level up my character at a higher level, which I love. The character's name is Belek, which I just love saying Belek. I don't know why, but I do. But that was not a free-to-play game, but I spent over $100 on that game. But after I beat it and did the New Game Plus, I stopped playing it again. And I would not spend another dollar on it because I just don't need to. Now, I really think when it comes to these free-to-play, people spend so much on it that it really is making some of these big companies like Ubisoft really change their strategy. Because if they do a AAA game and we spend $70 on it now because it's a PlayStation 5, after that, unless you're buying the season pass and they're bringing out some DLC, you're really only going to spend that $70. You're not going to do much more on it unless they entice you to do so. Now, if Call of Duty comes out with Warframe, and a friend of mine said he spent over $500 on this game, I just think that's pretty crazy. I mean, why wouldn't Ubisoft, why wouldn't Call of Duty, why wouldn't Fortnite start to invest more money in these free-to-play games? Because they're not free, and people are kind of idiotic in my mind. Sorry if I'm judging, but to spend that much money on a game that's not going to move you forward any farther. But on the other hand, in that article there, they talked about the cost per minute of play, how much money and how much profit they're making based on the hours played. And if you go through and you spend $70 on, like, I bought Fallout 4, and I paid for the extended edition with the season pass. So let's say I spent $100 on this game. On one of my playthroughs, it was over 300 hours. So if I look at that, $100 for 300 hours is honestly a very good investment on myself, that it's really not that much. When we think about a movie and how much money that I'll spend to go watch a movie, which is 2 hours, I've spent on a 3D/4K movie, I'll go through and actually spend, you know, $30 on this game. And when you break it down to per hour, I'm spending a lot more for that movie than I actually am going to be for a video game that I'm playing a lot longer and hell of a lot more interactive. So I get it. I really do. But it makes me think back of on Battlefront 2 when that came out, and people lost their mind. I mean, they lost their mind with all the microtransactions. But Fortnite and all of those are doing the same exact thing. Now, I know that there was a special gun that came out with Han Solo, and, you know, people were pissed because, you know, there was people buying it and they were one-shotting, etc. I get that. But they're not doing anything different. EA was not doing anything different than all these other places and all these other companies. And now, again, what Ubisoft is going to end up doing is they're going to monetize almost everything. And if they make a free-to-play game where you're an Assassin's Creed player and it's open world, or if it's a fighting game, you know, I may check it out, but I'm not going to spend $500 on a free game. For a living, I am in the finance world, so I cannot say to somebody, hey, this is a good investment for you. But on the other hand, you know, if they said tomorrow we're going to release 2 more downloadable contents for Days Gone, I can't get out my credit card quick enough because I would buy it in a second, because it's content, something that I can play. It's more than just like what I look for. So again, with Star Wars Battlefront 2, it was pretty crazy, and I still think EA made a crap ton of money on it, but they still aren't making as much as what Fortnite is, or even now Call of Duty. So I think it's kind of suspicious and a little bit weird that, you know, we have standards for one but not for the other. And again, as you know from listening to this podcast, I am a huge Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes fan. And they have now, for a mobile game, made over $1 billion in revenue and profit from this game. And it's a mobile game. Think about that. This is a poop game. Something that while you're sitting on the toilet, you are playing. And I think about that. They've made over $1 billion. It's been over 5 years. It's going to continue on because why not? People are going to spend the money. I think about this this new tune that's going to be coming out for Ahsoka. People are going to spend the money that they need to be able to get that character right away. I watched a YouTuber, Arnold T101. He just spent, it seemed like, what, $2,000 on these Bad Batch characters. And guess what? CG is sitting there with their, like, just collecting this money. And they're saying, yep, our free-to-play game is a success. It is not free to play. But yes, I do think with this that Ubisoft going in, they are following the trend of so many other games. But I just don't want it to hurt some of these games coming out. I love the Assassin's Creed games and how they've evolved. And I still haven't beat Valhalla yet, but it's going to be on my list to do. And it's a long game. I can play that for 100 hours and easily feel good about it. On the other side of it, I have played Star Wars The Galaxy of Heroes now for 2 years straight. And when I say straight, I have not missed a day. I have only missed a few energy claims in these last years as well. But I have also spent a lot more money than I should in this. So I'm not thrilled when it comes to the free-to-play strategies. I understand it. The whole point of the video game industry is to make money. I get that. But on the other hand, too, I don't have to be the one that's going to go spend $500 on a skin. And I'm not going to, and nor if someone sits down with me to talk about their finances, will I be the person that says, this is a great investment. Let's buy 12,000 things of Bitcoin and then, you know, sell everything in your 401k to buy some skins and some Bitcoin. I'm not going to do that. So that's not me. So if you are ever coming to sit down with me to talk about your financials, those are two things that I probably will not talk to you about, unfortunately, for your long-term growth in the financial world. So with that, again, it's kind of fun there, but overall, free-to-play, Ubisoft, please, Ubisoft, do not change your games too much. I did pick up the new Watch Dogs. I'm looking forward to that. I think it's a pretty unique concept because instead of having one main character, you can have a ton of them. Again, it's in my list of games to continue to finish. And who knows, in the future, I hope to take care of that. So other things I've been doing as well, Major League Baseball, ended up going through and with the show, I usually play the franchise mode and that's all I play. I have finally gotten the Diamond Dynasty bug in collecting these cards for the game. I've always been kind of a sucker for anyone that's came from Japan. I don't know why, but I remember when Dice K came over and they're talking about the Gyro Ball. Like, I was, like, that was my guy. Like, I tried to watch everything I can. Same thing with any Japanese or Asian player. It seems like I'm just drawn to them. So in this game, Shohei Ohtani, like, I am 100% excited because I spent, I don't know how much stubs I could to get him in the game. And then I am just destroying people with him. So he can hit the home runs and then obviously he can strike out, you know, 20 plus. So that's been really exciting. And I've always been the person that when you do the franchise mode, it has to be realistic. I can't all of a sudden make a bunch of players. I can't do a bunch of trades. I try to keep it as realistic as possible. So I don't like to play, say, with the Angels because I would want to bring in some of my other favorite players. So again, I do think that, you know, I finally, after all of these years, I've been converted to a Diamond Dynasty fan. And I did talk to somebody the other day too, and they said that, you know, FIFA is really the one that started this trend. And when we talk about the free-to-play or the monetizing, you know, the game even more, they found out that they could go through and make a ton of money on this card system. So now EA has it in every single game that they have, and which I think it's completely smart. So you got your 2Ks, you got your Major League Baseball, any sports now is going to have these cards. And I can see the pull. I've like hovered over buying some stubs just because, I mean, I remember collecting them as a kid. I collected a lot of cards and I ended up selling them at garage sales. But I remember opening the pack and feeling that enjoyment. You know, I was always a huge fan of like one or two players. Deion Sanders was one of them. And surprisingly, Latrell Sprewell. Why? I don't know. But I remember at one point I had 30 some cards for him. So it's kind of bringing back some of that nostalgia, childlike mindset with these cards. And on the other hand, too, I can buy them to still play with these players. So Shohei, like I said, I'm loving him in there. And I did buy almost every single Tigers player just because I'm a sucker for a Tiger as well. Not a real one. I mean, I could care less. I don't like collect stuffed animals or anything. But all right, off topic. So I think that's where I'm going to end it for today. Again, Tim Tebow, recap on that. Stop talking about Tim Tebow and then it won't be a big deal. I hope him the best success for the Jaguars. I really think the Jaguars in 5 years are going to be a pretty legit team. Do I think he's going to be on it? No. But they don't have another tight end. Right now, if I said $100 to tell me a tight end without looking on Google, or unless you were on that team, like, you are not going to know it. So let it be. And then the free-to-play side of it, if you are a Call of Duty player, if you are a, I'm having a hard time. I think I've just had a stroke here. If you are a Fortnite player, again, more power to you, but I just can't be that person that's going to be spending all that money on those. So next episode, I am going to talk a little bit more about Star Wars. There'll be two more episodes of Bad Batch that came out. I've also gone back, and I won't lie, watch some Rebels. So I think I'm going to go back to Star Wars again there. I'll also be able to talk a little bit more about Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes because that's what my next obsession is. So I look forward to the next episode. Hopefully everybody has a great week. And until next time, nerd out. Have some fun. Play some D&D. Play some video games. Yell at the TV. Throw a controller. Have some fun. All right, you guys. Have a great one.